3, 2, 1.
Reed needs one more block. He goes all the way. Touchdown.
Coming to you from Winnipeg, Manitoba. This is Outside the Gridiron with Josh Fry Sam. And now, here's your host, Josh Fry Sam.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? Welcome into Outside the Gridiron. Josh Fry Sam here with you. Well, the NFL draft is complete. Free agency is complete. Mini camp is complete. Summer is officially underway, and we are in the dog days of the NFL offseason. But this is kind of the nice part about the dog days here, is we can start to have a little bit more fun. We're getting away from the standard, this is the draft process, this is the free agency process, this is the money side of things. Not that that's not all good and fine and dandy and fun, but now we're kind of, these dog days, what we use these for are the prediction side of things. Now we get to have some fun. Let's make some bold predictions. Let's talk about where teams are at, and you already know that there's stuff to talk about, always stuff to talk about when it comes to the NFL, and I plan to do so with some of the insiders around the NFL as we wait with bated breath for training camp to begin. This, you guys, I appreciate you tuning in. This is the first installment of what I hope is an annual summer series. Over the next 8 weeks or so, we're going to put all 32 NFL teams under the microscope to assess what is the state of the team, who should we be on the lookout for, maybe players-wise for this season, what impressions rookies made in minicamp, maybe what rumors are out there, all that fun stuff we're gonna look at and unpack with some of the NFL insiders that are around the league here. So for the inaugural episode of this series, we're going to start at the top of the alphabet. We're going to look down at the Arizona Cardinals. And for this, I sat down with Cardinals reporter and host of the Phoenix Cardinals podcast, Bo Brock, for just a few minutes to find out what he's seen and knows. All right, pleased to welcome to the Outside the Gridiron podcast for the very first time, Mr. Bo Brock, Arizona Cardinals reporter and host of the Phoenix Cardinals podcast. Bo, how's it going, man? Thanks for taking some time out.
Things are going good, man. It's the slow season and the NFL offseason, so gearing up for training camp. Excited to join you and talk a little ball.
Yeah, appreciate that. And like you mentioned, yes, these are the dog days. No question about it. These are, but these are the fun days as well. I mean, we can have some fun, have some predictions, throw those out there, but obviously brought you on to put the Arizona Cardinals under the microscope a little bit. And I think there's no better way than just asking you straight up, what in your mind is kind of like the state of the Arizona Cardinals right now? Cause you know, you look at them from afar. I think most fans, that look at them, they say, well, Kyler Murray's out for God knows how long. And, you know, but they've got new GM, they got a new head coach. Things could be glass half full if you look at it, possibly. I don't know. Yeah. What's the way you look at this team?
As simplistic as I can put it, rebuilding, right? And it was, to add a little context to it, a very necessary rebuild, kind of taking this thing down to the studs. You mentioned Kyler Murray. He's kind of the only guy, and I don't know if we can say definitively, that's going to be a part of this roster for the foreseeable future. I mean, he's obviously locked in on a huge lucrative contract that's going to take maybe some dead money potentially to get out from underneath, or, you know, Kyler Murray could be the lone soldier that's going to move forward with this franchise, but they've got the ability to go or pivot either direction. And I think that that was kind of the goal this offseason under first year general manager Monty Osford. A lot of this offseason was spent cleaning up the mess from the previous regime and putting the right coaching staff in place and getting this roster kind of back to neutral, as I said, down to the studs, to where they can kind of draft and develop and build this thing from the very ground and up.
Yeah, and I think this is, I agree with you. I think it is a rebuilding team right now. I think a lot of people, that's kind of where a lot of people are in that same boat where, yeah, this feels like a team that is going to finish with a top 10 pick, is going to finish possibly with a top 5 pick, which is fine if you can add some more talent around Kyler. But also, I'm kind of in the boat where with Kyler, I classify him, I actually almost have a hard time classifying him as a quarterback. Like I can't sit here and personally definitively put him as a top 10 quarterback. I don't think put him outside the top 15, top 17. So I almost want to say he's a solid starter, but I feel like there's more to unlock. I don't know if you, or more to give, more to get from him. And I don't know if you agree with him, but I'm wondering, what do you see as the relationship being and potentially the success level being between Drew Petzing and new OC and Kyler?
I don't think you're alone there. I think that's kind of the majority thought process on Kyler Murray. It's tough to kind of nail down where he's obviously the skill set of a top 10, top five guy. We've seen, you know, sample sizes of that. Like, to start the 2021 season, I mean, he was an MVP candidate for the first 8 weeks of the season. I think where he fell short, where his coaching staff fell short, not to put too much on the coaching staff, but I mean, Cliff Kingsbury could never finish a season. Like, the league would catch up with what he was doing on any given season and they would adjust and he wouldn't play that game of chess back. And I don't think he put his players in a position to be successful at the end of seasons, including Kyler Murray. I'm really interested to see what him and new offensive play caller Drew Petzing can do going forward. But no, I think you're exactly right. I mean, he's probably within, I think it's fair to say he's a top 15 quarterback with the injuries, probably on the outside looking into that, coming off probably his worst performance of his young career last season before the injury. So it's tough to kind of pin down, like, can he rebound or is he going to go the way of like a Carson Wentz where post-injury, right, he's never been the same, right? He's just kind of been a journeyman and he's kind of been a guy that's in his wake has left a lot of coaches fired, right? And Kyler Murray, I don't think wants to do that. I think he's got a chip on his shoulder. He's been doing all the right things as far as his rehab. Been the first one in, he's been the last one out at the facility, and he's been embraced, I think, for the first time by this organization. I think this organization, before, they realized that they had to hitch their wagon to Kyler Murray and that could be very successful, right? And keep guys in place. But also, I think they used him as a crutch. They enabled him a little bit. And this coaching staff, this front office is embracing him, empowering him, making him feel like the quarterback that he is. And when he does eventually come back from this ACL injury, you know, I think that they believe that he can be the guy to elevate this roster. But a lot of work has to be done. And I think that he's probably playing with the worst roster collection of talent since his rookie season in 2019. So we'll see how Kyler Murray, coming off the most significant injury to date in his career, only significant injuries, deal with like bumps and bruises, you know, an ankle tweak, a hamstring here. You know, I think that this is a guy also with a system change too. It's really going to be interesting to see how it plays out, but he's got that ability. You talk about unlocking him. Andrew Petzing, first time offensive coordinator coming over from Cleveland after working with just Deshaun Watson and Jacoby Brissett. Can he be the guy to do that? Can kind of more of a balanced offense be the setup for Kyler Murray to really kind of tap into what he's capable of doing at the NFL level?
Last thing on this, on the Kyler Murray kind of trend here. Yeah. Like, if they, let's just, and I listen, I get that we are like more than we're a full year away from this at this point. But if we're looking at the NFL draft here in 2024, not sure how much you pay attention to college, but there's a couple, maybe even a trio of very capable quarterbacks that are coming into this. It seems to be like it's going to be a very strong quarterback class. So if the Cardinals, let's just say, do finish bottom five, obviously they're locked into Kyler's long-term contract, but it would kind of be tough for the Cardinals if they had a shot at a Caleb Williams or a Drake May, or maybe we could even just put in a Michael Penix Jr. there. Like, that would be tough not to pull the trigger on one of those. No.
Yeah, no, I think that conversation absolutely will happen, right? I mean, not only do they have their own pick, and the Cardinals, you know, Mike Clay of ESPN just put out, you know, they're the worst ranked roster in the league, and I don't think anybody is naive to that, right? I mean, they're not up to par as far as what rosters can compete. Can they surprise people like Seattle did last year if Kyler comes back, right, with enough time? Sure. But no, I mean, I think reality is this team, I think it was like 18% that their own pick could be the top pick. And then they own the Texans' top pick, which is 13%. So they've got about a 30% chance to land the top pick. And not a lot of teams have had that good of odds at this point in the offseason going into next year. So, you know, I think if they sit 1-1 or 1-2 at the top of the NFL draft next year, they got to have that conversation. Business wise, it just makes sense when you look at the caliber of prospects. Now, if they're sitting, you know, in this year's draft and you're looking at a, you know, I know people like Bryce Young, but like, is he an upgrade over Kyler Murray? Can you definitively say that? Like, you get to pivot to a rookie contract, maybe. Like the previous draft, like the 2022 draft, not at all. Like there was no quarterback that you could pivot from Kyler Murray to, right? Willis, Kenny Pickett. But this one, I think you can say that. I think at least with Caleb Williams, Drake May, I think, you know, does he fall the way of Sam Howell, the same guy that played at North Carolina, where, you know, from year to year, his draft stock plummets? It's, you know, potentially, or could somebody rise, like you mentioned, like a Michael Penix? I don't know if Penix, you know, you look at his overall, you know, athleticism, does it match up with Kyler? Because the thing, the reality is Kyler Murray, even if they keep him and he's a $50 million cap pick next year, they're still going to have $80 million in cap space to deal with if they move off of James Conner, move off of Zach Ertz, which seem like they're slam dunk layup moves to make, right? So they're gonna, it's not like they're going to be cap strung. So they could move forward with Kyler Murray. They could also pivot off him. If they're 1-1, I think that they likely pivot to a guy like Caleb Williams, barring a brutal season, setback season. And they eat $46 million in dead money by trading Kyler Murray, not releasing. Yeah. I think that there's going to be a quarterback hungry team enough to take him on. And then you take on a guy like Caleb Williams, a little bit taller, less, obviously less wear and tear on his body at this point. And you eat, you know, absorb $46 million in dead money. And then you got that rookie scale contract for 4 more years before, you know, signing him to a lucrative extension.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, that's what that seemed like the Cardinals were pushing. They were really pushing to try and take advantage of Kyler's rookie contract. Obviously that didn't work obviously too well, but yeah, maybe they can reset on that. I don't know how much time you spent around Jonathan Gannon. What's your impression of him?
Yeah. I've been fortunate enough to, you know, talk with Gannon on and off the record, saw him in Indy, saw him at the annual league meeting. And, you know, he's a candid straight shooter. And I think that he is kind of a breath of fresh air for this organization. He's as prepared and organized as you need to be as a head coach. You love the enthusiasm, even to a fault. You see the funny videos of him, pew, 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 shots, you know, with Rondell Moore, the viral video that went off. But, you know, if you're going to knock a guy for being enthusiastic, I mean, there's worse things to knock a guy for. I mean, you know, Cliff Kingsbury was 35-40 in the Big 12, you know, going into his head coaching opportunity with the Cardinals. And he was almost like too cool, right? He would never give you anything. And he never really gave you any true answers, where Jonathan Gannon's quite the opposite. So is his young coaching staff. It's like you ask him a question, he'll give you the answer, and then he'll tell you how he came to that answer. So there's a lot of substance there. So, you know, he calls it pajama ball, like through pajama ball OTAs and this offseason, where they've been having to make a lot of unpopular, necessary moves in this rebuild. I think that he's done up until this point. You got confidence in Jonathan Gannon. Now, we don't know what he looks like as far as in-game. We only know what he's looked like as a coordinator. And, you know, the last time we saw him was in the Super Bowl. And Patrick Mahomes, like he does to everybody, makes a guy look bad, you know, make a defense look bad and rally back from a double-digit deficit. But I think, you know, you look at the total resume, the 2 years he was in Philly, it was pretty impressive. And you can see that players listen to him. And that's one of the things we talked to one of his former players, Andrew Sandejo, who played safety for a long time in the league. And he said that his ability to connect with these players, that's what's going to make him a really strong coach. And I think that, you know, with how prepared he is and willing to pivot, willing to delegate, willing to listen, I think that he should be set up, you know, success right out of the gates. As we looked at this roster, probably not likely, but I think he's going to have them going in the right direction from a coaching standpoint.
You know, you talked about how depleted this roster is from just a pure talent perspective, but obviously one of these potential talent, very talented pieces that could make that jump to the next level even is Isaiah Simmons this season. I want to know, in your mind, is he one of the more exciting players on this team right now just from minicamp? Like I saw he's working with the safeties a bunch during minicamp. I'm thinking, like, here's a player with incredible talent. He's a chess piece, obviously, as we like to use that term in the world, that you can move around. And here comes a defensive-minded Jonathan Gannon, who we just finished talking about, who maybe can unlock that. Do you see him, Isaiah Simmons, as being a potential excited player and maybe a breakthrough season, if you would?
I mean, to use the chess analogy, like, the skill set is a queen, right? He can go all over the board. But as far as use to this point, you know, he's like a pawn, right? He just hasn't It's like Vance Joseph, the former coaching staff, the front office, like they saw this uber versatile guy, right? This Swiss Army knife. And it's like he became this jack of all trades and master of none. And, you know, you would have thought that a new coaching staff would be with fresh eyes, different perspective, would have wanted to use him, utilize him differently and have, like, I think they have a plan for him, but is it going to be the best that's going to let him thrive? Now, the Cardinals declined his fifth year option because he was an off-ball linebacker and they were going to be locked in for $12 million next season on an off-ball linebacker that probably he's going to play defensive back this season. Like they don't know. I think they like what he projects to be, but they just don't know what he looks like when he's going to hit the grass. I don't think he's going to be a starter on this base defense. And that's a big part too. I mean, I don't think that should take away from your excitement, but I think where the exciting part comes in, like Jonathan Gannon has taken guys with a far less impressive resume, like undrafted guys like a TJ Edwards out of Wisconsin or, you know, Marcus Epps, you know, a late round draft pick at the safety position. And he's been able to kind of harness those guys in tournament. They both respectively got big deals this offseason. Can he get, you know, Isaiah Simmons, who told us, you know, he's going to, it's not just because it's a contract year for him, but he's going to put forth, you know, the best effort he can. But what's his opportunity going to look like? I think if he plays slot, he plays nickel, if he plays safety, his numbers can look like Avante Maddox on steroids, and that would be really good for him, right? But I think that, you know, what does that look like? What's his market look like after that? Because I don't think he's going to be, you're not going to say, oh, you know, that's Derwin James. You know, I think that one season's not going to say, going to get him the bag next offseason. So
no,
it's really still kind of a riddle. Like what's his NFL future look like? But he still made game-changing plays last year. That's what's, you know, part of the frustration and part of the exciting part of Isaiah Simmons. He made like four game-changing plays that, you know, the team either capitalized on or the offense couldn't, but he made them for that defense and he's got that ability.
ESPN, last one for you, Bo, and I'll let you go because I told you 10 minutes or so here. We're going to run slightly over. ESPN's Josh, I think it's Weinfuss, if I'm pronouncing his last name correctly. So he reported it was Michael Wilson was his standout from minicamp. Who in your mind was your standout from minicamp and maybe someone who Cards fans need to keep an eye on going forward into this preseason, maybe even the regular season?
Man, I hate to give Weinfuss credit for that because, I mean, that's the consensus, right? I mean, Michael Wilson out of Stanford, not a lot of productivity for the Cardinal, but you know, David Shaw's teams were down for so long. Tanner McKee was also the guy that was drafted as quarterback. But outside of that, there was not a lot of talent at Stanford. And he was also injured. But the silver lining to the injuries, it was like a collarbone, right? It was breaks. It wasn't ligament stuff. It wasn't an ACL. It wasn't a tear. Michael Wilson looks like the real deal. Like they get him at the end of the third round. He was smooth with his route running, smooth with his breaks. He's big, right? He's 6'2", almost 6'3". He's physical. I think with DeAndre Hopkins exiting this roster, there's going to be an opportunity for him to play X or Z. And I think playing, you know, opposite Hollywood Brown, there's going to be a great opportunity for a guy like Michael Wilson. But since Weinfuss is going to get credit for that, man, I got to really dig deep for a breakout with Arizona Cardinals team. I think you got to look to the defensive side of the football, right? And I think BJ Ojulari kind of flew under the radar. I think maybe when you look at this draft class, who's poised to be the most NFL ready, coming out of LSU, kind of being an ass kicker for the Tigers down there. I think the what they're looking for as far as the pass rush position and JG's and Nick Rollis's defense. So BJ Ojulari is a candidate, and not to go too chalk, but you know, their first round pick, sixth overall pick, Paris Johnson Jr., I think, is going to get a big-time opportunity to start and probably play the right tackle position and immediately start his career, you know, getting a chance to play the entire season. So those are three rookies that I think are really exciting for this team. If you're looking for somebody on this roster, you got to look at that pass rush group because it's just the opportunity, right? There's really nobody else. Cover was kind of bare when JG took over. Zaven Collins making the switch, I think, from off-ball linebacker to pass rusher. It's big, right? He played at Tulsa 6'5", 260. I think that he's got the bend, the athleticism that you want from that position. And he's going to be in the same spot as Isaiah Simmons was at this time last year, where if he can go from off-ball linebacker to pass rusher, he might get that fifth-year option picked up next offseason, because that's a premium position that they can lock in at a pretty decent rate. So he's got an opportunity. So does Cameron Thomas, a second-year player out of San Diego State, back to his draft weight at like 270. That pass rush position is going to be wide open. Those are three guys that can really kind of take advantage of that.
I love that, man. I love all of that, and I appreciate you taking some time out, Bo, to put the spotlight on these Arizona Cardinals, man. And hopefully these, we'll see if this is a good draft class. You mentioned three big names there from this draft class, so we'll see. This could be maybe this is the New York Jets of last year, or the Seattle Seahawks of last year, once all over again. But
It's like you say, put the spotlight, but it's like open mic night. It's like the auditions are going, and if you're sitting in the crowd, you might not get the best product. But look, these are necessary reps, right? That comedian or that performer, they need to get those reps in order to get their game to the next level. And I think that the Cardinals are taking their medicine.
Absolutely. Bo, can't thank you enough for the time again, man. And hopefully we can have you on again. Good luck going forward this summer and into the season, man.
Thanks, man.
And so there you have it. Rebuild mode for the Arizona Cardinals, as per Bo Brock of the Phoenix Cardinals podcast. Big thanks to Bo for hopping on here to be my guinea pig, if you would, for the inaugural episode of the 30-Minute Summer Series. It was a lot of fun breaking down the Arizona Cardinals, and we'll be right back in due time to break down next up the Atlanta Falcons in the 30-Minute Summer Series. Looking forward to chopping it up with whoever is up next. Thank you very much for tuning in to Outside the Gridiron. I'm Josh Frysam. See you next time.
Thanks for listening to Outside the Gridiron with Josh Frysam. Follow Josh on Twitter and Instagram at JFRYSAM and leave us a review on iTunes. For more episodes, subscribe to Outside the Gridiron on your favorite podcast service.